Greetings in Jesus' name. I welcome each one here to this time, this part in the service. Been blessed with the things that were already shared here this morning and thinking about God's Spirit, His Holy Spirit working in our lives. And it's encouraging to hear those things being taught and a reminder of how God's Spirit wants to work in our lives, and that we would be sensitive to His Holy Spirit and listen and allow Him to speak through us. I was encouraged by that, and thank you. This morning for a message, something I've been pondering recently, and that is thinking about vision, or something that we hope for. And when we think about vision, there's different things that come into our minds, and sometimes we think of having a vision from God or something that He shows us. But more what I would like to focus on this morning is the vision that we have. And hopefully it's been given to us by God and through the teaching of His Word. Vision is, when we think of literally seeing vision, it gives us the ability to see. Hope for is a confidence and expectation. Trusting God's promises for the future. Trusting in God's promises for the future. And when we think about these things, it's not just something that we wish, but we have goals. A firm and secure anchor for the soul. Having a faith that is believing. Vision, having a vision for the future. Having a vision for the future. So we're thinking ahead. Expectation of fulfillment or success. When we have a vision, these are some of the things that we will be processing in our minds and in our lives. When we're thinking ahead and we have a vision for our lives or for our families or for whatever we're processing, we look ahead, we have some kind of expectation, and we are thinking about some kind of success. Let's just pause and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just pause before You here this morning with thanksgiving. I do thank You for the blessings that we have, for the opportunity that we have of coming together here and placing ourselves before the preaching of Your Word. And Lord, we're here because we do want to be taught. I thank You for the things that You've already taught us. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us to just take those things and live those things out in our lives. I pray also, Lord, as we look into Your Word, Father, here this morning, I just pray that You would minister to the needs that we have. I do pray, Lord, that You would give me the ability to share the things that You have placed on my heart. Help me to share them in a way that would bring honor and glory to You, that would bring courage and peace into our lives, Lord. Lord, we ask this morning that you would give us ears that can hear, hearts that can receive. And Lord, we ask that you would give us clearness of mind this morning. Help us to lay aside the cares of life, the things that easily bog us down. Lord, we want to give those things to you this morning, and we just want to focus on your word, your teachings, and we want to learn from you. I pray this morning for those that may not be here, those that are listening in, we just lift them up to you. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless them. Lord, this morning we just ask for a blessing from you, and we commit this time to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter 4, going down to verse 16, and I want to start reading here in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." We notice here Jesus reading these scriptures, but what I would like to know is Jesus had a vision of what his future was going to look like and his work was going to be. And just like for us to hold on to that and just ponder those things. In Matthew chapter 9, going down to verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Again here, Jesus was observing a people. You see, he had a vision for these people. He saw the need. His vision was that they would be discipled, I believe. And his prayer was that there would be those that would be willing to do that. Jesus saw a need here, and we see his heart for these people. and he prayed for workers that would come forth and labor into this harvest. We see what vision did here in Jesus. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, a warning that is written, I believe, for us and for whoever reads it, tells us here in Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Let's just stop and ponder that for a minute. And think about that, trying to live just a single day and not having a vision for that day. And how that plays out when we lose that, when we just aimlessly go through a day, and how it changes. And we are probably all have been guilty of times where we live a day and we don't have plans. We don't have a vision of what that day is going to bring forth. And it usually isn't very productive. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." This is talking about us. This is talking about the vision that God has for his people. How does that become a reality in our lives? We see God's plan, what he wants to work out in his people's lives. And so we need to see that. And the question that I have we adopted this vision? The vision that God has for us, have we adopted that as well? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. "That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love." A vision for the people, something that we would be rooted and grounded in love, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. As we look at that verse there, that the prayer here is that we would be strengthened through his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, in being rooted and established in his love. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "Do we know the plans that God has for us? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." These are the plans that God has for his people. It says plans to prosper you, not to harm you. What is that telling us when it seems to be indicating that there's things that we go through in life that are intended to prosper us. But if we're not diligently observing and taking these things in, we may come to the conclusion that it feels like it's hurting and harming me. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's God's plan for his people. If you turn with me to Nehemiah, I love the book of Nehemiah, and as you read through that and the vision that Nehemiah had and how he carried out that vision. In Nehemiah chapter 1, starting in verse 3, they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy from them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I prayed before thee now day and night. For the children of Israel, thy servants, confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. As Nehemiah became aware and saw the need here, we see him praying for his people. And we see a vision is starting to grow in his mind. And he was talking to God about his people. We go to chapter 2 and go down to verse 5. Here in this verse, he shares his vision for his people with the king. He's now here verbalizing the things that he believes that God would have him to do. Verse 5 here, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judea, unto the city of my father's scepters, that I may build it. He had a big vision for something that looked, if you keep reading in the book here and you see how bad the place was and how destroyed it was and how much work was involved in even making a difference here. And he shared this vision with the king. And his vision was to go down there and rebuild the city walls in this city and make it a place that they can thrive. And as we read through all of that, we see the obstacles that they went through and the enemies that came against them. And obviously, I believe that Nehemiah wasn't just running on feelings, but he had a call from God, and God showed him a work that needed to be done. And he didn't lose sight of that, in spite of how difficult it looked and how long it took. He stayed focused and brought people together and did a work there. We turn to Jonah. Another really good example of someone that had, I believe, a vision in his mind of something here. And just starting in verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Just stop there and just look at that verse. Jonah heard God speaking to him and showed him a work that he wanted him to do. Assuming that this wasn't the first time that Jonah's been in this position and had a call from God and did God's work, that he understood the God he was serving. Verse 3 here, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." So obviously, when God spoke to him and showed him the work that he wanted him to do, and the people that he wanted him to minister to, says in verse 2 there, to cry against it. Basically, what I'm seeing here is to speak against their sin, to show them. And whatever conclusion that Jonah came to, it helped him make his decision. He decided that it wasn't worthwhile doing, that it was, probably he saw his life being on the line, or the people weren't going to listen. And so because of a lack of vision for the people, and maybe a fear for himself, Jonah chose to turn away from God, to run from God in this case, and do his own thing. So here we see, we continue reading in Jonah, we see that in spite of Jonah's fears, that God reached out to Jonah and saved him and brought him and used him. But he went through a journey that doesn't appear like God was intending for him to go. But we see the Nehemiah when he became aware of his people and how he responded. And as God spoke to Jonah and made him aware of this people, how his vision and his fear, how that guided him. I'd like to, as we think about how purpose and vision, how that guides us in life, or how it can. And I was wondering if the little children would like to help me. I don't know how many of you are game for that, but if the little children, the little children and the bigger children would come up here and sit on the front bench here, it might actually help me. And maybe we can learn something. So I'm going to maybe divide you a little bit. How many? Let's see if we could have, oh, you're all pretty close to the same size. There's a little one. So thinking about children and we let's just use school for instance. How many people are in first grade? No first graders? You're in first grade? No. What grades are you? Your second grade? Is how many more second graders are there? No. Is there any third graders? What's the next grade? Do you know what grade you're in? Do you know what grade, like which grade you're in school? Huh? Yeah, what grade is it? Third. Okay. So when I was in school, when I was in first grade, I wanted to learn. And I knew that I had 1 year to be in first grade. And I was pretty sure that when I came to school the next year, I didn't do homeschooling when I was little. So I went in school. So when I came the next year, I didn't want to be in first grade anymore. How many of you would like to be in, let's say, fourth grade, 2 years in a row? 2 years. Would you like to be in fourth grade 2 years? Or only 1 year? Like, would you like to do fourth grade 1 year? So let's pretend, let's say we're in fourth grade and it's like, oh, school is so hard. And I don't really want to do school. And your mom and your dad say, well, you really need to do school. But you choose not to listen to them and you just don't learn anything. And why would you do that? Why would someone do that? It's a punishment, okay? That would be one thing. But I'm guessing that person that thinking about not doing their school and not learning, they're not thinking about the next year. And then the next year comes along. Well, we're going to have to do fourth grade again. We're not thinking about the future. But that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to think about life. And when we're in first grade, we want to learn. And we're excited about being second grade and so on. We go to third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. And sometimes we get a little, it's like, it's hard. But we really don't want to do that lesson the next year again. But sometimes when we're really, like, discouraged, it doesn't feel like it's worth it. But usually God sends someone to us. And in your case, if it's school, he probably uses your parents, maybe your friends, and they tell you it's worth it. you can learn this. And they help you find a vision. And it's like, yes, I don't want to be in school the rest of my life. Or I don't want to be an old person and not know how to do things, not know how to write or read or do math. How many of you would like to go through life and not know how to do math without using a calculator? Would be much fun. And if you didn't know any math, a calculator wouldn't even help you because you wouldn't know how to, which buttons to push. Well, sometimes, yeah. So we have a vision. We want to keep growing. And the same is true with the young people. There's when we're out of school and then we think about being a youth. And then we learn, we think about, it's like, wow, what's the next thing? There's some people here that have permits and they want to learn to drive a vehicle. And there's people that go learn more education because they want to do other things in life. Learn how to be teachers or maybe understand the Bible better. So there's usually people, they do things because they're thinking about the future. And so when we lose sight of that, then we stop doing things. I remember a time in my life when life was really hard. I thought life was really hard for me. And we were doing our, it was in the end of the school year, and it was time for achievement tests. And we were doing our tests. And you know, I just really didn't care because I was so discouraged. And so I lost sight of a vision for the future at the moment. And so I just didn't do my tests, hardly at all. And the teacher was merciful to me that time. But that's what happens when we lose sight of a vision. We don't keep moving forward. And so as we come to Christ and we give our lives to the Lord, God gives a vision to us of what we, who He wants us to be, and we adopt that, and we live for Him. And just like in school, sometimes we get discouraged and we struggle to hang on to that vision. As God's people, sometimes we do that. And God reminds us. God brings people into our lives and to encourage us that we would have grab a hold of that vision and keep going. Vision for relationships, visions for our church, a vision for our family and what that, like often, most times, young people and people that are in a relationship and want to get married, they have a vision of how that relationship is going to look, how marriage is going to look. And then there's some difficulty that comes along or some disagreements. And we can let that destroy our vision. But usually God brings people in our lives or reminds us. And when we grab a hold of that vision again, it changes. It changes who, what we do. Just like in school, if we think it's too hard and we just give up, guess what? We're not going to keep learning. We're not going to advance. So let's think about that as we live our lives, that we would not let go for the visions, the hope that we have for our lives. So yeah, so thank you, children, for coming up here and letting me talk to you. So as you live life, as you do things, remember that plans that you have, and if you're you keep learning, and God will use you as you get older, and as we hang on to the things that He shows us. So you can all go back to your parents now. Thank you. So as we think about life and how God gives us dreams and visions for our lives, and it starts in a little young, when we're young, and it we keep growing from that, and in our lives with when we give our lives to the Lord, he continues that. He shows us things, and sometimes we don't even know exactly what it all means at the time. Sometimes he shows us, thinking about dreams and visions. Dreams, I believe, something that we dream at night. And visions maybe is more something that God shows us, that He wants, that He's working out in our lives and preparing us for something. And I think God can use both of those to speak to us, and just pray that we would be sensitive to His Holy Spirit and grow. Allow ourselves to be taught and grow in that. There's different times in my life that I recognized that God was speaking to me and preparing me for something else. And it's when we look back and we see that, and it's encouraging, and exciting to know when we see how God moves and works in our lives. And so I was blessed by the first message, and being sensitive, thinking about the Holy Spirit and how He works, and He does speak to us in all these different ways, and He wants to guide us. There was a time, and I don't even know how old I was, that God showed me a dream. And I was still an Amish boy, so it made no sense to me. But He showed me that I was preaching. I was preaching God's word to these people. I'm yet waiting to see where that is going to be. But what baffled me at the time is I was preaching in English. And it's like, well, that's not possible. But I knew it was real. God prepares us and shows us in all different ways of what his plans are for us. And so let's take those things to heart and allow those things to prepare us to, as God builds a vision for us, and that we would claim those things. In Acts chapter 18, verse 9 and 10 here, the Lord was speaking to Paul here. Then spake the Lord to Paul in night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. So God spoke to Paul here, and he told him not to be afraid. And he said not to stop speaking. Not to stop speaking. Do not be silent. In verse, yeah, it's like he's really pointing it out. But speak and hold not thy peace. So God was telling him and made it very clear that he wanted him to speak. And he reminds him that I'm with you. And he also tells him that no one is going to hurt you. And that there's much work to do here. There's many people in this city. And so just an example, we see God speaking into Paul's life. And he, I believe, well, it says he was there 1 year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. So obviously Paul heard, he listened. And there must have been something that the Lord realized he needed to encourage him not to be afraid, and gave him courage. Ephesians 3, 19 and 20. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Again, having a vision of what God can do in us and through us. And reminding us that we don't have to do it in our own strength. In fact, God doesn't want us to. He wants us to trust him and allow him to work in us and through us. Second Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. And so we see God's Spirit, that what it does in our lives is we allow God to work in us. In Philippians 3, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As we look at this passage, and we see the encouragement to leaving the past behind us and move forward. And as I was pondering that, if we face hard things, we want to, move forward and put those things behind us if we're thinking correctly. But as I was pondering this, sometimes we encounter things that were wonderful and encouraging, and we don't want to lose the memory of that. But sometimes we want to just live in that. And I believe that even in those things, God wants to move us forward and show us new things and take us to new places and use us and encourage us in that. And so let's be diligent and faithful in that, moving forward and allowing, looking towards what God has before us and focusing on what that will bring and focusing on having our focus on eternal and how that will, if we do that, that will shape us. In closing, if you turn with me again to just Matthew chapter 9. Going down to verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus' vision here, he saw a need. He reached out and made a difference. He had compassion, asking, praying that God would bring workers to do the work. A vision here that is alive. Let's keep that vision in mind as we face life. We see even Jesus here ministering to a people. And when we think about Jesus, we think it's like, well, he can do it all. And his prayer was that there would be laborers sent for the harvest. And as we, as I was looking at that again, Jesus was asking God to bring workers. And as we face people and needs, God has a part for us to play. But he's not expecting that I'm going to do it all by myself. Let's be faithful and do the peace that God has called us to do. And when we see that there's a work that needs to be done, maybe we can do what Jesus did and start praying that God would bring other people and use those people to bring healing into their lives. May God bless you as we ponder those things and consider what God would have for us, and as we apply the things that God is showing us in our lives.